Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Well, you may have a seat, and as you're seated, I got to know, is there anyone excited to be at church today? Yeah, I am excited that you're here. I'm sad that I am not here in person. I have major FOMO. Normally, we do not show the sermon on video. And if you're a regular attender, you know that it's typically me live in person. If you're new, you need to know we don't typically show a video. This past week, I had a family member who tested positive for COVID, and late in this week, I had just a little scratchy throat. You can kind of hear it when I talk. I feel great. I don't have a fever. I'm not blowing my nose, and I don't have a cough. But out of precaution, I decided to take a COVID test, and on Saturday, the COVID test was positive. And so the good news is, I feel great. The bad news is, we wanted to follow protocol, and that meant that I needed to stay away from people. And so that's why you're getting this video. And that leads to a shout out that I want to give. I want to give a shout out to one of our staff members, Pastor Jaden. Jaden came in on Saturday on a day off and helped set up all the recording equipment to film this. He helped edit it and also cleaned down, Lysoled everything after I left. And so just want to give a big shout out to him. Will you help me thank him and all his hard work? Yeah. And so we are going to be continuing our series, Holy 30, in just a second. But I wanted to update you and let you know some news that is hot off the press. And it's some exciting news. At the end of last year, for the whole fourth quarter, actually, my executive pastor, Scott, and I were watching our attendance trends, and we saw that for the whole fourth quarter, we continued to go up, and we kept watching it, and then the last Sunday of the year, which was New Year's Eve, our attendance was up once again, and then the first Sunday of 2024, we were up pretty significantly, and so because you keep inviting people, which we love, and because we've had a lot of first-time guests, we've seen our attendance rise. And so we made the decision to add an additional service. So coming up on February 4th, Next Level will be going to three services on Sunday morning. And we're really excited about that. And I wanted to tell you, though, why we picked February 4th. February 4th is Donut Sunday. And you're hearing this for the first time right now, but part of the challenge with Holy 30 has been to pray for an unchurched friend or family member, and we want to give you an opportunity to invite them to come to church with you. February 4th is going to be that opportunity. We're getting donuts from Glaze in Hampton, which in my opinion is the best donut in the planet. It is manna from heaven. It is incredible. We're going to have so many donuts that Sunday, and it's supposed to be just an easy invite for you. We will also be kicking off a family month where we'll be doing a series on family and talking about family and marriage and kids and all that good stuff. And so it's a great invite for you on February 4th. So because our services have been continuing to fill up, you keep inviting people. We wanted to create some new space. So we're going to be adding a third service. And our hope is that with Donut Sunday coming and you continuing to invite, we'll be able to fill up those three services. And so we're going to need some help with this as well, because this is a big task. We're going to need all hands on deck. And so if you're not volunteering, we would love, this is your time. This is when you're needed. And if this is your church, you are needed to jump in and to help with this. And if you're volunteering and you have time to volunteer more, maybe you're only volunteering once a month and only serving once a month, this would be a great time to jump in and give a little bit more as we launch this third service. But more details will be coming at the end of the service. Our executive pastor will let you know what our service times are and how you can jump in and help us out with that. But I wanted to celebrate that and also want to let you know that that is coming on February 4th. Well, today we are continuing our series, Holy 30. And this is a series that goes along with a challenge. And the series on Sundays, I hope, inspires you. I hope motivates you. I hope it challenges you. But there's a part that you have to do, and that part is the challenge. I can't do it for you. You have to, during the week, actually do the challenge. And the Sunday component, I'm hoping, will inspire you. But the weekday component, or the weekly component, is something that you have to do. And so this is what I want to review. This is the Holy 30 Challenge. Holy 30 is a 30-day challenge to ignite your faith and focus on God. And for the next 30 days, we're asking that everyone commits to do these five things. Now, if you're new and this is your very first time, you can just jump in. You can jump in anytime. If you're a regular tender, but you missed last week or you just forgot about it or whatever, just jump in. You don't have to say, because I missed the first week, I'm just not going to do any of it. Just jump in right now. Just complete wherever you're at right now. Just start now and go the rest of the time. And here's the five things that we're looking to complete. First one is pray three times a day. And one of those prayers is to be dedicated to an unchurched friend or family member. And now you have something to invite them to Donut Sunday on February 4th. Number two is read the Bible daily. We have a plan in YouVersion. If you're not on YouVersion, highly recommend it. It's a free app. And on YouVersion, you can find our church, and our church has a plan. That's a 30-day plan that you can jump in and join the rest of our church on. But you don't have to do that plan. If you have your own Bible study method, feel free to do that. Number three, fast one time a week. This past week, my fast ended up being on Thursday. I originally scheduled for Wednesday, but it got moved to Thursday. And I just want to tell you that there is potentially nothing that will cause you to draw closer to God and lean more on God than going without food. It was very trying and testing, and it was challenging, but I'm so glad that I did it. And we're asking that everyone fast one day a week. Now, if you can't fast from food, we understand that. There's people who are fasting from social media. Some people are fasting from television. But you find something that's going to cause you to kind of feel like you're missing it. Something that's going to lean in that you're going to say, oh, like my natural instinct is to go here. And for some of you, that is social media. You spend a lot of time on it. And so for one day, you're going to go without it. But if you want some more information about fasting, if you scan that QR code that we talk about all the time on the seat backs in front of you or all around the building, sometimes it even pops up on the screen. If you scan that QR code and click the Holy 30 Challenge, in the description, there is a lot of information about fasting and various fasts that you can do. And I highly recommend that you read that so that you make sure you do the fast that fits best for you. Number four is to read for 10 minutes a day. And this isn't just any book. This is to read a book that's going to inspire you. And if you have not read it, the book that we recommend is Not a Fan by Kyle Eidelman. And I've been reading that. I've already read it before, but it's a book that is, it's a good kick in the pants. It's a good one to read. And I also think he's funny, which I also enjoy reading, a little bit of humor. But I encourage you to read for 10 minutes a day. And then number five is to attend a weekly prayer gathering on Wednesday at either 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. And we had our first one this past week. And typically what happens is the first one is the most crowded, and then it kind of dwindles, and then maybe it'll pick back up on the last one. And I'm hoping that Next Level, we'll keep up that same energy all throughout. And if you miss the prayer gathering, I want to highly encourage you to make it a priority and make it happen. It was so encouraging and so cool to be around God's people and to just go before Him and to pray. And it was really awesome. And so I want to encourage you to make that a priority this week. Well, some of you are on board with this. You're on board with the Holy 30 Challenge. And you are on board with it from the very beginning. In fact, as soon as you heard challenge, you're just like, I'm there. You're the type of person who has done Whole 30, the diet plan, and you actually completed it. You made it the whole time. I started Whole 30, and I made it a whole 30 seconds. That was tough. It was not my cup of tea. It was not easy to do. Some of you, though, you've done like 75 hard, and you completed all 75 days. Or some of you are into like CrossFit, and you love those exercises that are like impossible for the average person to do. Some of you are into like the ice bath right now, and you ordered yourself one, and you're like torturing yourself in the mornings, jumping in an ice bath while it's freezing outside. And for those of you that love challenges, you're on board with this right away. You're like, yep, challenge me. Good. Accepted. I'm there. And if that's you, I just want to make sure that you hear this. This is a different challenge than the normal challenge. And the reason this is a different challenge is so many of the other challenges are just set to push you and to push your limits and to make you better. And I think this will do that. But if this is just something that you do, if this is just some boxes that you check and you don't experience the presence of God, then this has not been a successful challenge. And so I want to make sure that you not just will yourself through this, that you lean on God and you experience Him through the 30-day challenge. But some of you, you're more like, ooh, I don't know, like this seems difficult. This seems like it's going to stretch me. This is going to get me out of my comfort zone. And I just want to speak to you just for a second. I want to encourage you and challenge you. Nothing good happens in your comfort zone. Nothing. And if you're not growing, you are dying. It may be a slow death, but you are dying. And your spiritual life, it is like a campfire. If you ever to start a campfire, typically once you get the fire going, it is big. But then over time, the fire just dwindles. And it's the same thing with our spiritual lives. If we're not intentional, if we don't do something intentionally to help our spiritual life out, the fire just kind of goes down. So Holy 30 is a challenge to ignite your faith, to inspire you, and to give you strength for the rest of the year. And here's something that I want to encourage you with. God does amazing things with just a little bit of faith. You bring a little bit of faith in this, a little bit of effort, and just watch what God does. In fact, Jesus said that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, one of the tiniest seeds out there, then you can say to this mountain, move, and it'll move. And so that's what we're bringing to this. We're bringing our faith, even if it's a little bit of faith, we're bringing our faith, we're bringing our effort, and we're bringing our intentionality, and we're going to do these things and watch what God does. But let me tell you what doesn't happen. God doesn't move when we aren't willing to move. And I want to make sure that you get that. God does not move when we aren't willing to move. Now, I want to make sure that you hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying that God can't move. God can do whatever he wants. He is all powerful. But if you read through the scriptures, you'll see that God does not move when his people don't move. In fact, all throughout the scripture, God starts to move or God will speak to someone. And typically when God speaks, his people become afraid. And so if you're here and you're like, oh, I'm kind of scared of this Holy 30 challenge, or I'm kind of scared to follow God, I'm kind of scared to go all in for God, I'm kind of scared to hear from God. If that's you, then guess what? You're in great company. Because almost every great man and woman who heard from God throughout the scriptures, their first reaction was fear. But the ones that pursued God, the ones that we wrote about and we hear about and we talk about, the ones that are on the Mount Rushmore of our faith, are the ones that said yes to God even when they were afraid. The ones that said no to God were the ones that God didn't move in their life. God allows us to say no. And so today, I want to inspire you to say yes to God and to start with simple obedience. In fact, that's our big idea for today. If you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to write this down. Say yes to God with simple obedience. Now, if you're new to the church scene, I think this is a great place for you to start because you're new, you need to practice and develop the discipline of saying yes to God. When you read something in scripture and God tells you what to do, say yes. It may be challenging, it may be difficult, but you need to practice the endurance and get the repetition of just saying yes to God. Because when you became a Christian, you are to die to yourself. You've removed yourself from the driver's seat and you've put Jesus in the driver's seat. And him being in the driver's seat means that we are going to follow his lead. I'm not in control of my life anymore. Jesus is. And so I'm going to say yes to him. But if you grew up in church and you feel like you have a mature faith, then I think this challenge is also for you. Because here's a danger with having a mature faith or being a part of the faith for a long time. The longer you are a Christian, the easier it is just to start to coast. And the easier it is to just kind of fall into our comfort zone and say, okay, I've done all this before. I signed up on the dotted line. I've served before. I've done a lot of things in the past. And it is easy to just rely on what you've done in the past or what God has done through you in the past, but I just want to tell you that God wants to do things through your life right now. And God wants to do immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine. And it starts with saying yes with simple obedience. I want to show you this in our text for today, and I want to give you some context for what we're going to read. What we're going to read comes in the Old Testament of the Bible. And the Old Testament is primarily focuses on God's people, which are known as the Israelites. Sometimes they're called the children of Israel, and they are God's people who he rescues from slavery. They go into the wilderness, and then eventually they end up in the promised land. And once they're in the promised land, they demand that God gives them a king. Now, this was an insult to God, because what it meant was they were saying, they were rejecting God and saying, we don't want you to be king anymore. We want an earthly king. And so God says, listen, that's not a good look. That's not going to be a good move for you. You shouldn't do this. But I'm going to accommodate you. If that's what you want, I'll give you what you want. And he tells them that when they have a king, it's going to bring disaster on them, but they don't listen anyway. And so they have a king. And so then in the Old Testament, we have two books that are dedicated to the kings of Israel, 1 Kings and 2 Kings. And when you read 1 Kings, it starts off with lots of drama. It starts off with basically like a civil war between the families. And then it starts off, David makes his son Solomon king, and there's like all sorts of drama. And then Solomon takes over the throne, and we have a really good king. Solomon's a good king for the most part. He makes good decisions and God blesses him. But then once Solomon is done, we have king after king who makes really horrible decisions. And there are all sorts of crazy stories that come throughout 1 Kings. There's stories about a fire coming down from heaven and consuming a bunch of pagans that are supposed to be living for God. They're not. And so they have this battle with a prophet of God, and God, the fire from God consumes them. We have incest, adultery, murder. And this is all just in 1 Kings. 2 Kings comes around. And it's the same old story. It's kings that are supposed to be representing God who are not living for God. And because the king's not living for God, the people follow the king's path. And the people follow the king's example, and they don't live for God. And all throughout this, you have this prophet of God named Elisha. And Elisha does constantly point to God, and he constantly shows the way. But he's not the leader. He is a prophet. And you continually see that even though the 1st and 2nd Kings is supposed to be about the kings, you continually see that the kings in 1st and 2nd Kings are not living for God. And so with that being said, let's dive into our text for today. 2 Kings 5, verse 1. It says, "Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy." Okay, I want to stop there for a second. The key person in this text is named Naaman. His name looks like Nah, man, but it's actually Naaman. And Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. Now, this is something that is really interesting. 1 and 2 Kings are supposed to be about the kings of Israel. Aram is not a part of Israel. In fact, Aram is a pagan nation that does not worship the God of Israel, does not worship the one true God. And so right in chapter 5 of 2 Kings, it's like you have a timeout, and it's like, okay, the king that is supposed to be following God is not following God. So let's go to someone who may be sensitive to God's voice, who may pursue God. And this is something that I just want to take a real quick time out and point out. This is not the point of the sermon, but I just want to quickly say that when God's people don't follow him, he will find people who will. I want to make sure that you hear that. When God's people don't follow him, he will find people who will. And the king of Israel was not following him. And so we should be reading about great stories of the king of Israel doing great things for God. But he doesn't have a heart for God. And so God does miraculous things through other people's lives. So Naaman was a commander in a pagan army. He was a valiant soldier. And he has leprosy. Now, leprosy is basically a death sentence back then. It was a skin disease that meant eventually your limbs would start to fall apart, and they would fall off, and you had to be outcast from your people. And so it was a lonely disease, but it was also a very debilitating disease. And so this is what Naaman has. So it's basically a death sentence, and that's where our text continues. 2 Kings 5, 2-3. "Now, bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, 'If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy.'" Okay, time out just for a second. The Old Testament is a wild, wild book. And the time period is just very different than our time period. And so there's oftentimes you read things in it, and it's difficult to read with a modern mindset. And you read things and you're just like, oh, I can't believe the world was like that. But you just need to know the world was very barbaric. The world was very crazy. And in this text, we read that Naaman was a part of some raiders that would go into Israel, and they would kidnap people. And they kidnapped a girl from Israel, and she becomes his servant. And Naaman gets leprosy, and this now servant girl tells Naaman's wife, "Hey, I wish he would go to Israel and talk to the prophet, because the prophet could heal him, because our God is the one true God." And I have so many questions about this. I'm like, well, like, if you're like a slave, if you've been kidnapped, why are you willing to help him? And like, aren't they your enemy because they just attacked you? And there's so many questions I have. None of those questions are answered. because that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is that God's about to do something in a pagan person's life. So the person that she's talking about, the prophet, is Elisha. Keep that in mind. Let's keep reading. 2 Kings 5, 4 through 6. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." So there's a lot going on here. Naaman and the Aram army have been battling against Israel, but the king is like, "Hey, I'll just write him a letter. That'll solve all our problems. Let's write him a letter, and sure, they'll cure you." And Naaman then brings all sorts of wealth with him. Now, this is something that I want to highlight. Naaman, because he's not a follower of God, because he's from a pagan nation, he thinks he can buy off God. He thinks that if he brings enough money, he can earn God's love, and then God will heal him. If you are a follower of God, you need to understand that you cannot buy a miracle from God. You can't. God already loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. And so trying to bribe him or pay him off is not going to cause him to love you anymore. And if you are a follower of God and you are ever up late at night watching television and you come across some preacher or some teacher on TV who says, "If you sow a seed into my blessing, if you give me money, then I will bless you," you need to turn the channel, run the other way, have nothing to do with that person. Because that is not the way that God works. In fact, if you are ever visiting a church and they tie in God's blessing with you giving, specifically if they say, "If you want to be healed, you need to give financially to this," run the other way. We don't give to get God's blessing. We give because we already have God's blessing. God's already given us more than we could ask or imagine. And so we give out of that. We don't give to try to earn his love or to earn healing. That is not the way that Christians live. And so if you ever come across that in any preaching, run the other way. But Naaman is from a pagan land. He doesn't know better. And so his king sends a letter to the king of Israel. And that's where our text picks up, 2 Kings 5, 7. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." This is so frustrating. It's frustrating because 1 and 2 Kings is supposed to be about the kings of Israel. And here you have the king of Israel. Instead of him saying, "You know what? My God's got this. My God can do this. Let's go before God and ask him for a miracle." Instead of seeing a king with great faith, what does this king do? He tears his robes. He's standing in his courtroom, buck naked. And he's like, "This is horrible. I can't heal this guy. This guy's just trying to pick a fight with me. What am I going to do?" And he starts to worry and he starts to freak out. And this is the king of Israel. The king who should have faith in God is freaking out. Meanwhile, the pagan king is like, "You know what? Yeah, our gods aren't working. Our gods can't heal you, but let's try that God out." Let's see what happens next. 2 Kings 5:8. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there's a prophet in Israel." So Elisha is the man of God, and when he hears what the king has done, he sends message to him. And he's like, "Yo, king, why are you naked? Put some clothes on. This is a bad look for you. Get your act together. Stop freaking out. Just let him know God's going to heal him. Just let him know that God's going to heal him, and then he'll know that God works through a prophet in Israel." So let's see what happens next. 2 Kings 5, 9 through 10. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." All right, now this is exciting stuff. Naaman is getting the answer that he wants. He was going to find the prophet of God to find healing. He goes and stops at the prophet's house, and Elisha sends out a messenger and gives him a simple act of obedience. "Go wash yourself in the Jordan 7 times and you will be healed." Now, in case your brain has wandered off and you started zoning off and not paying attention, I want to remind you how we started this whole thing. We started this by saying, say yes to God with simple obedience. Say yes to God with simple obedience. This ask is not a very big ask. Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan. It is a simple thing to do. God has asked way more challenging things from people before. God asked Noah to build an ark before it had ever rained. That's a big ask. Like, you have to build a boat and I don't even know what rain is. God asked Abraham to circumcise himself and all the men that were part of his tribe. That is a big ask. I saw a TikTok not too long ago that was from Abraham's perspective of God having this conversation, and it made me laugh out loud. I wanted to show it to you. I was a little nervous. I was like, I don't know. I sent it to my wife. My wife gave the green light. She said she thinks Next Level will think it's funny. And so if you get upset, send all your emails and complaints to her. Check this out.
So you're asking me to
cut it off.
Okay. Quick question. Why?
Totally. So it'll be a sign of our covenant. Isn't that neat?
So neat. Yeah. No, so neat. I'm just having a hard time.
How could
it be a sign when no one can see it?
I'm just
trying to think of logic here. When I think of a sign, yeah. I think of a stop sign.
Right.
You know, like the Hollywood sign. Yeah. You know, not like, oh. You know, like, oh my me. You know, that's not a.
You saying you're not gonna do it for me?
Oh, no. I'm gonna do it.
I'm gonna do it. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, that is a big ask, right? But here's the thing. There are very few of those big monumental asks in the Bible. Most of the time, the things that God asks us to do are little simple things. Little simple acts of obedience. God just wants us, he wants to know that he has our heart. And the way that he knows that he has our heart is by following him and making the right decision on a daily basis. So the message that Nahum gets is dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Let's see how Nahum responds. 2 Kings 5, 11 through 12. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he surely would come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Okay, this is incredibly important. Naaman is upset because he has an unmet expectation. And unmet expectations are disappointments waiting to happen. And there are some of you that can relate to this because you have had an unmet expectation when it comes to God. Naaman thought that Elisha was going to come over him, wave his hand over him, and heal him. And instead, Elisha gave him a simple command of obedience. Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan. And Nahum's like, no, that's too simple. That's too easy. I thought he was going to do something else. And because he didn't meet my expectation, I am now angry and I'm not going to do what God has now told me to do. As a follower of God, you need to understand that you are not in control. God is. And so when God tells you to do something, doesn't matter how silly it is, doesn't matter how simple it is, doesn't matter how ridiculous you may think it is, your response as a follower of God is to say, it is your will, God, not my will be done. I'm going to say yes to you. I am your follower. I'm scared to do this. This is tricky. This doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to follow you. And some of you have been disappointed and you've stopped following God because God didn't meet your expectation. And your expectation could have been unrealistic. Because some of you expected things from God and God never promised you he was even going to do it. And so when God doesn't come through with your game plan and he doesn't answer things the way that you think he should, you then become disappointed with God. Maybe you've had thoughts like, oh, I should be married by now. If I was God, if I was in control, I would bless me with a spouse. And so because God hasn't met your expectations, you've become frustrated with God. Or maybe you've thought, I wish my marriage was different by now. I've been praying for a long time. And if I was God, this is what I would do. Or maybe you thought that God should have blessed you more financially, that you've been working hard, doing the best that you can. Why haven't these blessings from God come? There are so many people, in my opinion, who feel like God should do something. And because God hasn't done what they want him to do, they have an unmet expectation. And when they have an unmet expectation, they end up with a disappointment. And the disappointment is with God. But as Christians, we're not here to tell God our game plan and then make him follow it. We're called to follow his game plan. And if you don't get this, then it's going to lead to all sorts of disappointments and frustrations. Some of you may be familiar with Pastor Carl Lentz. He's a former pastor at Hillsong, New York. And he made some massive bad decisions and had a fall from grace and ended up, Hulu did a documentary series on him. And I followed Carl Lentz since the beginning days when he was a youth pastor. I was interested in him because my wife went to high school with him in Virginia Beach. And so I followed his story and thought he was very fascinating and interesting and was really sad when he did fall from grace. And so my wife and I were interested in this Hulu documentary, and it was difficult for me to watch and it was sad for me to watch. But the saddest part of the whole thing is in one of the last episodes, they interview his family and they interview his wife and say, you know, where are you at right now with God and the church? And she says, honestly, I struggle with faith and I struggle going to church. And she says, I did all these things for God. My whole life, I lived for God. And then this happened to me. You see, she has an unrealistic expectation. Her expectation is if she does something good for God, then God owes her something good. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is we're dirty, rotten sinners. We bring our filth and our sin and our dirtiness to God, and he gives us his grace, mercy, and forgiveness. That's the goodness of God. But God doesn't bless us more when we do something for him. It's not like a bartering agreement when we say, okay, God, I served one Sunday at church for you. Now you need to bless me. God, I gave a little bit of money. Now you need to bless me. No. God's already blessed you. He blessed you with salvation. And every Christian is going to go through difficulty at some point. God doesn't show extra favor to those who serve more. He doesn't show extra favor to those who give a little bit more. Every single one of us is going to go through difficulties. We live in a fallen, broken world filled with fallen, broken people. And God is with us during this sinful, he's with us during the hurt, he's with us during the pain, he's with us during difficult circumstances, but you need to make sure that you hear this. If you think that doing something for God means you will never go through any type of struggle, then you are putting an unrealistic expectation on God. Jesus went through struggles, and he was God. So if Jesus went through struggles, how much more should his people expect to do that? Naaman was told to go wash himself in the Jordan 7 times. And he's like, nah, man, I'm good. I got better rivers back home. That's too simple. I'm not going to follow that. Simple obedience does not mean easy. Sometimes what God asks you to do, it is really simple, but it's not easy. Baptism is a simple step of obedience, but it's not easy for a lot of people. In fact, there are lots of people who would say, I know my next step is to get baptized, but I'm scared to do it or I'm not ready to do it. It's simple, but it's not easy. Forgiving as Jesus has forgiven you is a simple act of obedience, but it's not easy. And it's not easy because that person really hurt you. And you think that if you forgive them, you're letting them off the hook. And so you want to hold on to that bitterness. You want to hold on to that hurt. You want to hold on to that pain, and you want to refuse to forgive them. But forgiving them is a simple thing. It's just not easy. Giving generously to the church, we give because God's given to us. That's a simple thing of obedience. Is it easy? No. It's very challenging. It's difficult to do. And Naaman is faced with a very simple act of obedience. Go dip yourself in the Jordan River. Not easy for him to do, but it was simple. Now, watch what happens next. 2 Kings 5:13 through 14. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored, and he became clean like that of a young boy. Ah, thank God for the great people in Naaman's life. Naaman was not willing to obey God. He was not willing to do the simple act of obedience. And one of his servants comes alongside him, puts his arm around him and says, "Hey, Naaman, here, hear me out. If the man of God asked you to do something difficult, would you have done it?" And Naaman said, "Yeah, I would have done it. In fact, that was my expectation, that he would have asked me to do something difficult." And the servant says, "Okay, well, just hear me out. If you were willing to do it, if he asked you to do something difficult, how much more willing should you be to just follow simple obedience?" This is a great reminder for us about how important godly friends are in our lives. In fact, at Next Level Church, one of our core values is you can't do life alone. And we live that out by doing groups. And we do groups based off semesters. We do a spring semester, a summer semester, and a fall semester. And the signups for groups are going on right now. And I just want to encourage you and I want to challenge you to find some godly friends and meet with them regularly. Find godly friends. If you already have some friends, invite them to join a group with you. If you don't have any friends, find a group. You can scan the QR code, learn all about our groups, but the groups are going to meet for 12 to 14 weeks in the spring, and they start in February, and it's a great chance to meet regularly with godly people. Why is this so important? Because on our own, there are times when we don't want to obey God. And on our own, there are times when we have simple obedience and we just don't want to do it. And we need the right people in our lives to put their arm around us and say, "Hey, you remember you said you wanted to go this way? You remember what God said? You remember that you made this pledge to God? Remember that you made this challenge to God? Let me walk alongside you. Let me remind you of this. Let me pray for you. Let me help you make the right decision." All of us on our own are not the best versions of ourselves. The Bible says this: iron sharpens iron. So one man or one woman sharpens another. We need other people in our lives to help us make the right decisions. So here's something interesting. And this is the final part of this sermon. Here's something interesting about Naaman and this whole story. Why is this story tucked away in 2 Kings? Because 2 Kings is supposed to be about the king of Israel. And the king of Israel wasn't following God. So if you're taking notes, write this down because I think this is important. Naaman is a sign to Israel that God's blessing is only found in the path of simple obedience. Naaman is a sign to Israel that God's blessing is only found in the path of simple obedience. The authors of the Bible are intentional. And when they write certain things, they write it to communicate a message to us. And the message that they were writing in 2 Kings is that the king of Israel isn't following God. And so God is going to do a miracle through a pagan that doesn't understand that you can't buy God off, through a pagan who doesn't understand that you're just called to obey God. If God says it, you just do it. And so this is a text that is screaming literally to God's people, if you're not going to obey, I'm going to find someone who will. And the path is through simple obedience. One of Jesus's best friends, John, said it this way in the New Testament, 1 John 2:3-6. "We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him." Check this part out. "Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did." Some of us are way too quick to say no to God. Some of us are saying no to God because we have unrealistic expectations. Some of us are saying no to God because we want to be in control and we don't like trusting God's plan. Some of us are just quick. If it's inconvenient to us, if it's challenging to us, we're just quick to say, "Nope, not going to do that." But can I just tell you that God blesses simple obedience? God blesses our decisions. It's our job to obey. It's God's job to lead. And ultimately saying yes to God with simple obedience is a sign of whether or not God has your heart. And if God can trust you with the little things, he then will entrust you with bigger things. But the little things is where he's just looking. Hey, will you say yes to this? I know it's simple. It may not be easy, but I know it's simple. Will you say yes to this? Here's a little challenge for you. Say yes to this. Here's something that I just want you to do on a regular basis. Say yes to this. If you know Jesus, that is, if you're a Christian, then do what he says. And that was John's point. John's point was God's people, the people that follow after him, do what he says. Pagans don't do what he says. They have an option. They can say yes or no to him. They can reject him if they want to. But God's people, we show that we are his people by simply saying yes to him. So that's a challenge for you. And where I want you to say yes to him is simply by obeying what he says. And this is why it's so important to make sure that we spend time reading the Bible every day. Spend time in the Word of God and spend time praying. And I want to challenge you to commit to doing this Holy 30 challenge. It's a simple yes. It may not be easy. It may stretch you. But I want to challenge you to say yes to God with simple obedience. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and maybe you feel like you're ready to do that. Maybe you feel like he's been knocking on the door of your heart, and you're ready to make a decision to follow him. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're ready to make Jesus the king of your life, would you just repeat this prayer after me? God, I admit that I'm a sinner. And I admit that I've tried to control my own life. And I thank you that you forgive me. That you wash me white as snow. And God, I accept your free gift of salvation. And I ask that you would enter my life. I ask you'd help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.